Hello and welcome to Out and About Immelovians. I'm your host, Jeremy Balfour. As part of my job as Member of the Scottish Parliament, I get to travel around Immelovians, meeting interesting people and hearing about how the companies, charities and projects that they work for benefit and contribute to our community. On this podcast, I will share their stories. On today's episode, I'm looking forward to talking to Sarah Van Putten from Life Care here in Edinburgh. So we're sitting in the Life Care Centre here in Stockbridge. What is Life Care?
So Life Care is a community-based organisation that's been around longer than the NHS, actually, just. It was created before the NHS, which has just recently celebrated its birthday. And it's very much a community organisation in the heart of its community here in Stockbridge. So we provide a whole range of services from our centre here in Stockbridge. We provide day services, Meals on Wheels, an outreach and a help at home service, all of which are out and about in the community, supporting people to live at home and continuing to live at home for longer and providing their unpaid carers with breaks. But in our centre here at Stockbridge, we aim to be a thriving community hub too. So we also have a range of classes for unpaid carers on in our centre. We've got a cafe that's open to the public where you can join us for games and bingo sessions or simply pop in for lunch and a coffee. And also we have lots of other community classes, user centre for ballet classes, yoga, music, choirs and all of those other sorts of things. So very much a thriving community hub.
And your kind of target audience is older people?
The target audience for our services is older people. So we term older people as 50 plus, although I'm not sure that I count 50 plus as being old as I get ever closer to that date. But we are the target audience for our services are older people, but our community hub is designed to very much be a thriving community hub where we have people of all ages and stages in and out of our community centre.
So we've obviously come through COVID. It's all over. But as you reflect back, maybe just more generally in older people's services, where older people are, what are some of the consequences for COVID, do you think? Both either positively or negatively?
So I think if we, I suppose, looking at the impact on lots of the people that we support, first of all, so lots of our clients during COVID would have been very isolated and lonely at home. And the impact of being at home, not being able to go out and about, has had quite a negative impact on older people from the point of view of both their mental health and well-being, but also their physical health and well-being. So we've seen lots of the people that we supported over the time of COVID, mobility decreasing, mental health and well-being deteriorating, sometimes additional health conditions that they've come back to us with since the pandemic has ended and we've been able to reopen our services. So I think the overall the pandemic's had quite a negative impact on the older people we support. And for some of our older people, there are still some anxieties around coming back out and joining groups and joining activities. So, for example, for some of our outreach services, clients only have one carer and it's the same person all the time because that's somebody they're happy to have in their home and they're not keen to have a range of other people. So I think all of those negative impacts have been seen from our older people. However, for Life Care, the pandemic also allowed us to think about what services we do offer and to think about what some of our older people needed. So Life Care did really well during the pandemic at changing lots of what it did. So our day services staff were able to still go out and do doorstep visits with people who would normally come to us. They went, they did doorstep visits. Our help at home service grew hugely, providing shopping services, prescription pickups for people. And we started to deliver Meals on Wheels. So we delivered Meals on Wheels to people who would come to our day services, but then we expanded that service further to offer Meals on Wheels to other people in and around the centre that we can get to within a reasonable travel distance so they get their meal delivered hot. So I think it's allowed us to think about some of the things that we do as an organisation and how can we better support our community, but it's also allowed us, but it has also had a negative impact that we can't ignore.
Now, obviously, as an older person myself, under your definition, how do people find you? Is it through social work? Do people walk in the door? So you've got lots of great things going on, but how do people access that?
So a range of different things. We've just recently completed our client surveys, actually, and that was one of the questions that we asked them. So a lot of people find out about us through social work or through social services. So they're in some contact with a social worker or through a health professional. So it may be at diagnosis, for example, of something like dementia. people are then referred on through the dementia support services to ourselves, so organisations like Alzheimer's Scotland, or through GP or dementia specialist nurses, community link workers, social workers, also sometimes word of mouth. So some of our clients come to us because their mum, for example, now needs care, but we previously provided support for their dad, or, you know, through family and friends. So word of mouth is also a really good way of spreading the word, where people, you know, if you've got a good reputation as a service, that spreads to other people, and therefore we get some people through word of mouth. Plus we do some general of trying to increase our social media presence. Sometimes people just pop in or phone or, you know, search on the internet and Lifecare's name pops up. But predominantly I would say health and social care professionals and other third sector charity organisations who work in the same field, so things like Age Scotland, Alzheimer's Scotland, who would pass on referrals or pass on our details.
I think it's interesting, I think probably a lot of us think old people, they've got their pension, they can put their feet up, they're all the way cruising, having holidays, playing with their grandkids, whatever. It's kind of easy street. Is that the experience that you, when you talk to the people that are coming through here, of everyone?
Absolutely not. I mean, that may well be the experience of some people who are older, or it may be the experience of people, for example, in the first few years after, for example, they decide to retire. If they're healthy and depending on what they've done for their careers, that may be the experience for some of the older people in our society where they have those abilities. But the average age probably of somebody using Lifecare services these days, I would imagine, is around about late 70s, early 80s. We have people who use our services who are well into their 90s. And those days of, if they financially were able to do those things, those days perhaps have gone. They're often living alone. So the majority of the people that we support live at home alone. Their spouse is now deceased and they're now living on their own. So social isolation and loneliness is a huge issue. We also know that in Scotland, 1 in 6 older people live in poverty. So the idea that older people have lots of money and the ability to pay for things actually is not true. So that for us is also part of what we do when we're looking at our services, is how we can make them affordable. So, for example, our Meals on Wheels service is delivered free for people who are on pension credit.
Okay. I mean, social isolation is has come to the fore, particularly with lockdown, and perhaps those who are younger face social isolation for the first time. But I know it's a massive issue for older people, particularly older people, I can put it that way.
Yep.
How do we deal with that? If I had, you know, the first minister here and said, like, give me the answer, what, I'll throw as much money as you want, but tell me, how do we tackle social isolation?
I think, I suppose, there's lots of things around that. So some of it is about resources for services. So services like here at Lifecare have been able to, so, you know, we have daycare spaces that currently are not funded by contract, because Edinburgh Council doesn't fund all of our contract. So things like social services, being able to award self-directed support to people to pay for direct payments, to be able to access services, wider range of services that allow people to come together. One of the really, really key things, though, I think, for tackling social isolation and loneliness actually fits a lot around transport. So the issues around transport around our city and for transport for older people are huge. And I think that really impacts on people being able to come together. I think the other thing which makes Lifecare different, and I think quite special actually as the chief executive here, is that for our help at home and our outreach services, we place a huge amount of importance on consistency of staff. So those staff are going out and, yes, providing care or, yes, providing a help at home service, but the people who use our services are seeing the same people and they're building a relationship with them. And the other thing is that we've got really, really good staff retention. So some of our staff have worked here for a huge number of years and have built those relationships with the people they support over a number of years. And that, yes, they are professional care staff or they're help at home staff, but that companionship that they offer because they've known somebody for a long time is a hugely important part. So I think, if you were First Minister, it would be about providing the money to provide good quality services for people. But I think one of the other key things has to be about looking at how we offer better transport and more community spaces for people to come together in.
Again, going back to lockdown, I think we were all a bit more conscious of our neighbour. We were looking out for each other. We clapped together or whatever we did together. If I live in a tenement, if I live in a street, and I know I've got an older neighbour, how do I support them? Can I ring the bell and say, how are you? Or is that patronising?
I would think most of the people that we support would suggest that they would quite welcome that. Certainly during lockdown, feedback from lots of people actually was that they felt more connected to their communities because people did ring the doorbell and check if they were okay, or people popped in and said, I'm going down the road for bread and milk, would you like me to get anything for you when I'm at the shops? So actually, for some people, they felt more connected during the pandemic than they did before the pandemic or probably post-pandemic. So I think I would absolutely say if you've got a neighbour, whether they be older or whether they just be a more vulnerable neighbour, there's nothing wrong with knocking on the door and saying hello and just checking how somebody is. Because we know for some of the people that we support, our Meals on Wheels driver might be the only person that person sees that day. Yeah. Or the only days that we deliver Meals on Wheels that week might be their only person that checks in on them, makes sure they're all right.
Now, as you said, like you've been here for decades, you haven't. You're the new person on the block. How do you end up being chief executive of Lifecare?
So I've worked within the health and social care sector for 30 years, and I've worked in a variety of different, mostly third sector organisations. So my career has predominantly been third sector, although very traditionally I qualified as a nurse. But since then I've worked in the health and social care sector, working for a variety of different charities providing support, so both children and adults with disabilities. And more recently, before I came to Lifecare, I was the chief executive of a national intermediary organisation called Befriending Networks, which was very influential in tackling or raising the issues around social isolation and loneliness in Scotland and the UK. For me, this was about a new challenge. I wanted to go back to delivering services and making a difference to direct people, which you don't get as a chief exec in an intermediary. You're working with other organisations, and I love working with people. It's what makes me smile. It's what makes me get up in the morning. So I was really keen to get back to working for an organisation that delivered services. And Lifecare, for me, ticked those boxes, Jeremy. It offered an organisation that helps tackle social isolation and loneliness, which has been my bread and butter for the last 6 years at Befriending Networks. And it has such an amazing array of services that offer really, really high quality care. You know, we have fives and sixes in our regulated services from the Care Inspectorate. And that one made me really want to be here, but also as the new chief exec also makes me very proud of the work that Lifecare does.
I wonder if I can just go back a wee bit as well. I mean, I'm conscious, having an older mum who's kind of in her late 80s, having myself getting older myself, that actually that voice for older people can sometimes be not heard by politicians like myself, by civic society. Although it's a growing number of people who are falling into that age group, do you think the older person's voice is heard, is understood?
I don't think it's heard enough would be the answer. So part of our strategic plan here at Lifecare is to try and work with other organisations and politicians and civil servants to raise the voice of older people, to try and make sure that it's heard more. So no, I think the answer is we don't think it's heard enough. As an organisation, we are supporting the call for a commissioner for older people, similar to the Children's Commissioner. And we have also been supporting the campaign from Age Scotland about the Minister for Older People, because we think it was a real shame that the role of the Minister for Older People has recently been removed. Whilst we know it does sit with under a Cabinet Secretary, we think that that impacts on its voice. And we think the voice of older people perhaps has not been heard loudly enough at times. And they're a growing demographic in our society, the older people we support. And we need to make sure that their voices are heard. I think simple things like statistic we've already talked about one in six older people live in poverty. We know, for example, that more older people these days are living with more complex medical conditions and more comorbidities. Dementia is hugely on the rise, and a lot of what we do here at Lifecare supports people with dementia and their unpaid carers. So I don't think those voices are being heard loudly enough.
So why then? So, you know, why is that voice not being heard in your view?
I think it's difficult to be sure why it's not being heard, because I don't think I know for definite the answer to that question. I think it's there are always pressures on finite resources that any government has and the finite resources that local authorities have. And I think it sometimes can be difficult to spread that focus on to other things. Unfortunately, sometimes sort of voices are heard louder than others for periods of time, and focuses come and go. Certainly here at Lifecare, we're keen to push the fact that the voices of older people at present don't seem to be being heard, and we would like to see them be much more front and focus of government and policy and strategy, given what we know about the demographics of our society, and that older people are the fastest growing demographic. They're people who've worked all of their lives for our society. They've given a huge amount, and actually often still have lots still to give if we provide them with the right support. But I do think, for whatever reason, they've lost a bit of their voice in the last 12 to 18 months.
Our time's not almost gone, so let me ask my final question that I ask every person. I'm going to give you this magic wand to wave. What's the one thing that would make a difference? Not necessarily for you as an individual, but for the organisation, and more importantly, maybe the people that you're seeking to help.
Okay, so the one most important thing probably that would make a difference to Lifecare would be to have increased financial resources and financial stability. So being able to have longer funding streams, longer contracts, so that we've got financial stability as an organisation to allow us to be able to plan, to make sure that we can keep those consistent staff because we're able to offer good terms and conditions for our employees, which in turn offers better quality services to the people that we support. But not only that, if we had larger financial resources, we could offer, for example, our Meals on Wheels to people elsewhere in the city. We could offer increased numbers of help at home hours, outreach hours and daycare service places at reduced cost. So therefore, we're helping to deal with the fact that not all of our people can afford to pay for services. So I think for me, it would be about that money would allow us to do more for the people that we support, but also to be able to be planned better as an organisation and have financial stability to do that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. It was lovely to meet you.
It was great to hear from Sarah, and it's been interesting to hear about the work of Lifecare and how they're helping many vulnerable individuals. We'll put a link to their website in the show notes, and you can go to it if you want to find out more. Thank you for listening to Out and About in Wallovians, and I look forward to catching up next time.